Our topic today is, how do therapists treat people who more and more frequently come from different cultural backgrounds?
Right. We know the world is changing. And, you know, by 2065, the Pew Research Center estimates there will be no one majority sort of ethnic or racial identity in the United States. And race and ethnicity is just one aspect of cultural identity. We all share very different or have very different backgrounds, rather, in all sorts of domains, from age, generation, religion, sexual identity, gender. All sorts of cultural forces shape our life and our behavior. And one thing that's unique about therapy is that typically therapies are rather intense interpersonal communication, right? When therapy is working well, folks report having a very close and an intimate relationship. And by intimate, I mean sort of sharing details about their life that they don't often share with others. And because of that, the nature of that communication, cultural competency is really important, right? It's important to get that right, because in order for folks to feel comfortable, to open up, to share details about their fears and their hopes and their aspirations, we want to create an environment where folks feel comfortable and they feel heard and understood. And to do that, I think we're seeing an increase in training providers to be better at understanding culture. When we think about cultural competency, we really think about three key parts: awareness, knowledge, and skills. And so awareness really is the first one, and that's simply the recognition that we all have different cultural identities of our own. Sometimes culture is invisible, especially folks who might be in the majority culture or in a place of privilege, right? They don't necessarily see how others might differ in those dimensions. So we take our own culture for granted sometimes, and we don't recognize the things we hold as assumptions, right? That, you know, a big one in Western psychology is that sort of individualism is best. We want people to be the best person they can be. We want them to strive for their own self-actualization and you know, reach their own truest potential. Sure, that's fine, but that's also an assumption that that goal fits everyone. And in many parts of the world, sort of individual autonomy or individual achievement isn't the most important thing. Group harmony and sort of collective and community values might be more important, right? So we have to be aware of our own assumptions about the world. And so that awareness can be really helpful, because it can help us identify when we're not, when we might be different on something, or what we value may not match the values of our clients. And
the United States has never been the most homogenous nation. Do therapists in this country have an inherent advantage because they've had to deal with people of varying cultural backgrounds more than some in other countries?
I think that can be, and we know that exposure and interactions with folks who are not like you can be really helpful in developing awareness and these skills. And in fact, much of the training try to emphasize increasing contact and meaningful interactions with people from different backgrounds. That's one of the wonderful things about being here in Murray State, is we have such a diverse background and folks from many countries coming in. It facilitates exchanges that can be really important to happen, because they help us see the world through other folks' eyes. And ultimately, that's what we're trying to do in therapy. We're trying to understand the world of our client and how they see it. So awareness of where we sit and who we are and our identity and places where we might be privileged and places where we might have differences can be really helpful when we're sitting across from someone trying to help them.
But if we were to go an hour away from a college campus here, we might have a very different makeup of socioeconomic and cultural backgrounds.
Sure. And right, exactly. And when we want to be able to help, and we know that rural areas are traditionally very underserved, that they're not getting help in access to services. And that access piece is really important, helping folks feel comfortable reaching out, right? And so SES can matter, education level can matter, language can matter. There's so many barriers to reaching out to care. And, you know, the way I sort of example I give, if folks have ever had the experience of being in another country or another, or even here in the United States where people are speaking a different language primarily, it can be somewhat disorienting to ask for things. And, you know, and so I say, think about being there, but then having to share sort of the deepest secret about yourself that you've never shared to anyone else, right? I think sometimes we feel uncomfortable trying to order a meal or ask for directions. And yet what we're often doing in therapy is asking people to share much more. So it's important that we can, you know, figuratively and literally speak their language and connect with them on a level that they feel comfortable and that they can access someone who really can understand them.
I wonder how many people listening to this conversation have gone to a therapy session and the therapist has been from a different cultural background. I think many people probably would never even consider that unless they've had to experience it.
Sure. Right. And the good thing is we know that you don't have to have the same background. And in fact, when we think of all the different aspects of culture, when we think of culture beyond just race, ethnicity, gender, when we consider education, religion, disability status, age, generation, when we consider all those things, almost always we're going to have some differences with everyone. And what we find is that therapists can be effective when they don't share the same cultural background. The key is developing these competencies, awareness of your own identity, and having cultural knowledge, understanding how people in different parts of the world and different regions might have different values and assumptions. Now, you know, sometimes it's important to mention here, knowledge is not stereotyping. It's not saying all people with this identity are like that, but it's understanding sort of general differences that might emerge so we can be aware of them. So, for example, in many people of color, family has a greater importance, and the role of family is expanded, right? So when we train providers of sort of who do you invite into the therapy room, because often in sort of Western traditional therapy, it's the client, the one person. We invite them in. Anyone else? No, we're focused on you. But in many cultures and many different backgrounds, the family might want to be part of it, and having that awareness that that could be there could be important, that we don't shut people out and miss them on day one, right? Because if you think about it, all it takes is one bad experience and can be really tough to get people wanting to come back and work again. So we try to increase our knowledge. And then finally, we try to train skills for providers so they have tools they can use in the therapy room, in healthcare settings, to help them, you know, engage in cross-cultural communication. And one of the biggest skills is simply being willing to have the ambiguity of navigating cultural differences, right? Sometimes it can be more comfortable to sort of pretend they don't exist. Right? And having conversations about differences and acknowledging different backgrounds or differences in privilege can be uncomfortable, but often being willing to have those conversations opens up a space where really meaningful change can occur.